Well, this morning, this Mother's Day, I was asked to give a topic, give a message on the topic of parenting. And as I look out here, yeah, you all look like you're in your 20s, so you should be in the midst of it, right? At least your eyes do. I can't see any double chins or anything. But I want to draw out from Scripture five foundational truths for Christian parents. Now, these foundational truths are really meant to develop a proper mindset that parents can have. Now, I do realize that this topic is somewhat narrow because not all of you here right here this morning are in the midst of raising your children. But I think that this subject is important enough to warrant our attention. Our children, they're the future of the church, aren't they? In fact, they're the future of our nation. So even if you're not directly involved in raising children at this particular time, somehow, directly or indirectly, we'll all be affected by how parents raise their children in the future. Isn't that true? Parents need God's wisdom on how to do it effectively. This morning, I want to share with you a few passages of Scripture, and I want to begin with the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, if you'd please join me there. Proverbs in chapter 1. The first foundational truth is going to seem obvious to many of you here. At least I hope it seems obvious. It's obvious to many of you here, and it's this. The primary emphasis in Scripture for biblical training of children is parents. Of course, the key word there is primary. Now, the reason why I'm starting here is because, unfortunately, there's many parents that think they can just delegate that responsibility to the local church. Now, don't get me wrong when I say that, because the local church is very important. Sunday school teachers are important. They could be very influential in your life. Pastors and so on are very important, but they're supplemental to the training of your children, a very essential supplement. But the primary responsibility for biblical training of children is on the parents. Now, this is made clear. The Scriptures speak of it anytime it speaks of parenting. For example, look at chapter 1. Look at verse 8. It starts out and it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." And we see this time and again in the opening chapters of Proverbs. In fact, I think I counted about 17 times just in the first seven chapters of Proverbs, and we see a father instructing his son and exhorting them as well to listen to the teaching of their mother. In the Hallmark chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, the first several verses in that passage of Scripture exhorts children to obey their mother and father, and also exhorts parents, fathers in particular, to raise their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So God calls parents to pass on this spiritual heritage that my wife was talking about here, that our book is about, to their children. This is a very important foundational truth. The second foundational truth is this. Children are born with a sinful nature and in need of redemption in Christ. Now, what's interesting is that the Bible tells us that children are a precious gift from God. We see that in Psalm 127 and 128. They're a precious gift from God. But nevertheless, the Bible also teaches us that they're born sinners. And that's why Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child." Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and therefore, children are going to have that inborn propensity to do what's foolish, to do what's sinful. Now, brethren, this is a major biblical doctrine, a major biblical doctrine. The Bible, in fact, the book of Romans in particular, teaches this. And it becomes apparent the more older a child becomes, doesn't it? I mean, those of you who have raised children, or if you're in the midst of raising children right now, do you notice that you really don't have to teach them to do bad? You don't have them to do bad things and so on, but you have to try really hard, right, to get them to do what's right. Doing bad just kind of comes naturally. Romans 3:23 clearly states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." As descendants of Adam, we're all, you know, inherit that sinful, wayward nature, and that includes our children. And therefore, our child's greatest need is redemption in Jesus Christ. Now, since the Bible says that salvation is of the Lord, then we need to pray. We need to pray that God will work a work of grace, saving grace, into the heart of our children. If you're in the midst of raising a child right now, this is things we should be praying from birth. Pray regularly for the salvation of their soul. Pray that God will draw their hearts to the Savior. Ask God to open up their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears to the glorious truth of the gospel. Pray regularly those prayers from their birth on. And this is exactly what I'm praying for my grandchildren, my young grandchildren. God wants us to believe in the power of the gospel, that they can reach the hearts of our children and our grandchildren. So if you're a grandparent here, pray that regularly for your grandchildren. And in fact, pray for their parents too, because their parents are in the midst of the most challenging job there is on earth. You know what our prayers do? Our prayers, what do they express? They really express our independence of God. They really kind of express that there's an aspect of spiritual warfare, isn't there, in raising children in the ways of the Lord? And you'll find that some of your best parenting is going to be when you're humbly bent on your knees before God. And not only pray for them, of course, share the good news of the gospel with them. They need to know the good news of the gospel. Children need to know the truth about their sinful condition. They need to know about their propensity to sin. And as they begin to understand that sinful propensity and the truth of the gospel, that'll give them hope. They need to know that faith in the atoning work of Christ on the cross gives them the assurance that their sins can be forgiven and they can be blessed with that eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And prayerfully, God will use that toward bringing their sin problem to light and bringing them to repentance. So they need to know the good news of the gospel. And that leads me to a third foundational truth. Faithful parenting does not necessarily guarantee saved and godly children. It doesn't necessarily guarantee saved and godly children. Now, generally speaking, children that come from fine Christian homes grow up and remain faithful to the Lord. However, there's some children that grow up in fine Christian homes and they reject the faith. Doesn't guarantee saved and godly children. I mean, think about Cain and Abel. Grow up in the same family, same parents, same environment. Cain rejected the Lord, but Abel worshiped the Lord. See, as parents, we can teach biblical truth to our children, but we can't force them to believe it, can we? It's the responsibility of the child to follow it. I want you to notice that the purpose of the book of Proverbs itself is written mainly to entreat or to appeal to young people to choose wisdom over folly. And that's why you'll find as you read Proverbs, there's just this conditional tone to it. Look, for example, at chapter 2 with me. "My son, if you receive my words," see that conditional tone, "if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your heart attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you do this, my son, then, verse 5, you're going to have a result. You'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And what you see here in this passage of Scripture here, in fact, through the whole first 9 chapters of Proverbs, there's a faithful parent. He's teaching. He's guiding. He's pleading with his son to follow the way of wisdom. But, again, he can't make him to follow. He can't force him to follow it. So there is a responsibility on the child for the choices that they make, whether they're going to follow in the ways of the Lord or not. Our job as parents, what we're accountable to before the Lord, is that we execute that responsibility to the best of our abilities. Now, of course, none of us are perfect parents. I wasn't a perfect parent. But God's grace, fortunately, can make up for some of these things as well. But our responsibility is to be faithful in what God has called us to. And then we need to leave the results in the hands of God. And that's where a lot of prayer comes in. And now I bring this point out because I think this could be a very liberating truth for some parents. Who they were faithful in their instruction to their children, but yet a child may have rejected the faith. Now, having said that, I also want to also mention this. Parents can be a stumbling block to their children. And this happens quite often. Again, while no parent's perfect, some parents live hypocritical lives in the home. Some parents, they'll violate many biblical principles on parenting, on raising children, on marriage, on in their personal life as well before the Lord. And the result is going to be a child who really wants nothing to do with the Christian faith. Which brings us to the fourth foundational truth. Successful parenting begins with Matthew 7, 3 through 5. Successful parenting begins with Matthew 7, 3 through 5. Now, you don't have to turn there, but the point here is that before dealing with your children, it's going to be very wise to, first of all, deal with yourself as a parent. Look to yourself. Well, it's true that our children have that sinful tendency that parents need to deal with. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, it asks a very important question, and Jesus himself asked this question. And he said, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Now, I'm going to rephrase that a little bit differently. We can rephrase that to say, why do you see the speck that is in your child's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? And Jesus goes on to say, or how can you say to your child, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your child's eye. One thing I've observed over the years is that hypocrites make bad parents. Hypocrites make bad parents. Do as I say and not as I do is really not a very good workable parenting strategy. Okay, so not only are we to teach and train, also we're to be an example for them to follow. Proverbs 23:26 says this: "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." Now, here's a parent who's seeking to exemplify the virtues that he's commending in his children. Let your eyes observe my ways. Now, I want to mention two essential things that children need to observe in our lives as parents. The first is an authentic Christianity that's lived out in the home. An authentic Christianity lived out in the home. As Christian parents, our desire should be that our children walk in the ways of the Lord. But we need to ask ourselves some very sobering question. How is my walk with the Lord? How is my growth in Christ-likeness? What kind of model and testimony do my children see in the home from my life? There's a long-standing adage that's very true. Some things are better caught than taught. And one of the most important things you can do is set a godly example for your children. In other words, if you want your children to be honest and truthful, then you need to be honest and truthful. If you want your children to have an authentic relationship with the Lord, show them what that looks like. You cannot have a disconnect from what you are at church to what you are at home. If so, it's going to be a stumbling block to your children. And they're going to eventually detect that, and they're not going to want to embrace the things of God. So that's the first thing, live an authentic Christianity lived out in the home. And the second thing that we want our children to observe, essential thing, is a God-honoring marriage. A God-honoring marriage. You know, the greatest influence you're going to have on your children will not come from your role as a dad and a mom. The greatest influence you'll have on them is your role as a husband and wife. Your children want you to love each other. Children thrive on the demonstration of love between mom and dad. And in contrast, they wither in a home where there's constant bickering and fighting and a lack of love. What I have found is that a common mistake many husbands and wives make after they have their first child is to become so focused on that child that they neglect to maintain the relationship with one another. And what I've seen through the years sometimes is because of that lack of relationship that the husband and wife have with one another, how many times I've seen once all the children are out of the home, they divorce, and you just wonder, what just happened? Why did that happen? As important as the parent-child relationship is, and I'm not saying it's not important, it's extremely important, but the marriage relationship is more so. So therefore, make your marriage relationship, make that the most significant human relationship. Genesis 2:24 speaks to this very thing. It says, the man is to hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And what that speaks of is a relationship that's to be stronger, is to be more intimate than any other human relationship. The two shall become, hold fast, and become one flesh. Children want to feel confident that mom and dad love each other. You know what it does for them? It gives them a place. Home is like a place of refuge. Just gives them a sense of refuge. Remember hearing about a dad, a young dad. He was in a marriage Bible study. And he shared of a time when he hugged his wife. And he was hugging his wife in front of his little five-year-old daughter. And as he was hugging his wife, he kind of just nonchalantly looked down at his daughter and he said, honey, I sure do love your mother. And of course, he wasn't expecting, there's just a casual thing he said, he wasn't expecting his daughter to respond or anything, but he said that she said something that he thought was very profound. She said, thank you. One of the greatest gifts you can give your children is a quality marriage where mom and dad can relate to one another in sacrificial ways, in loving ways, where you're doing little acts of kindness toward one another, encouraging one another, when they see you taking time to be with one another. And not only is that going to set an example for our children, it's also going to contribute to the atmosphere of that home. And it's going to make it a place that your children are going to want to belong. In fact, if this is a struggle in your life, we have a chapter in our book, chapter 3, that really gives some practical and tangible ways in 5 areas that you can enhance your marriage relationship. And there's one more foundational truth for Christian parents I want to mention here. And this has to do with an effective, but I think often neglected, means for instilling biblical truth and values into our children. Conversations about God and biblical truth are to be common and natural in everyday experiences. Conversations about God and biblical truth are to be common and natural in everyday experiences. Now, this comes from one of the first major passages that speak directly to parents on raising children. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Gives us a picture of this. And I want you to turn there with me so you can see it. If you're still in Proverbs, just back up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to look at 2 verses there. Verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7 is speaking to parents. Moses is speaking on behalf of God, and he's exhorting them to pass on to their children God's statutes and God's precepts. And here's what he says. "And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart," the parents. There's the example of the parents first. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." Now, these verses emphasize that our conversation about God and our conversation about biblical truth of our children is supposed to just be a natural part of everyday life. Just a natural part of every life. You see it when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, what it's saying here is that we're to weave the concepts of God's word into the fabric of everyday living. When you're driving a car with the children in the car somewhere, when you're taking them fishing, when you're cleaning the house, when you're working on a project, and so on and so forth. I like what the Bible Knowledge Commentary says about this. "The moral and biblical education of children was accomplished best not solely in a formal teaching period each day, but when the parents made God and His Word the natural topic of conversation which might occur anywhere and anytime during the day." Now, saying that, I don't want to minimize formal instruction, you know, but what I have found is that informal instruction is often neglected, but it's very effective. So don't limit your child's biblical instruction mainly to formal daily devotional at home or even Sunday school. And so on. Sunday school at church, as important as they are. Engage in casual spiritual conversation with your children. If you're reading the Word, if you're studying the Word, if you're meditating upon the Word, it's going to naturally come out in casual conversation, won't it? Casual and impromptu remarks that you're gleaning from God's word just has a way of, I remember times speaking, my wife and I would talk about things. I would actually be in my home office studying sometimes, and something struck me, and she'd be in the kitchen, and I'd yell out, you know what, honey, blah, 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 something from the Word of God, not realizing quite often that our children were hearing what we have to say, and it has an impact on them. So don't discount times such as that. These casual and impromptu remarks from what you're gleaning from the Word of God can inadvertently have an impact on your children, more than what you may think, and more than what they may let you know. Children need to know that mom and dad, they're committed to Christ in everyday life, and prayerfully that goal is that the faith is going to become a natural part of their lives as well, instead of just the impression that this is just something we do on Sunday morning. When the natural, spontaneous conversations are kind of like sprinkled with God's word, it's kind of like just constantly planting seeds in the fertile hearts of your children. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying constantly lecture them every moment of the day, okay? I'm talking about sporadic things that take place naturally. Take advantage of what's known as teachable moments. Take advantage of teachable moments. Be alert to them. I'm talking about ways of connecting God's truth to things that are happening in life at that very moment. There's going to be times in your children's lives that they're going to be especially open to the truth of God's word on various matters. To give you a few examples, you know, say for another child gets in trouble, or let's say an adult they know very well gets into trouble with the law. That's a teachable moment. That's a time that you can teach your child, you see, this is what the Bible said. This is where sin leads. This is the consequences of sin. And you could explain that to them, and it has more of an impact on them at that time. Your children are going to have, if you have more than one child, they're going to have, there's going to be rivalry, right? Sibling rivalry or conflict with another friend. That's a teachable moment. That's an opportunity to teach your child what the Bible says about confessing your sins to another person or forgiving another person or how to reconcile with another person. There's going to be times that your child is going to face trials or difficult circumstance, and they're going to become fearful and they're going to become anxious. This is a teachable moment to teach your child how to overcome worry, how to overcome anxiety by trusting in a sovereign God. God's sovereign. They can put their trust in Him, and He'll give them the strength to get through that difficulty. And not only that, He'll use it to deepen their faith in Him and also perfect their character. Teach them why God allows trials in our lives, to perfect our character, to deepen our faith. When someone's suffering through hard times, this is a time to teach them how to reach out to a friend in need. When your unredeemed child continues to struggle with just sinful behavior and attitudes, this too can be an opportunity to share with them their need of the Savior. So in other words, we're to teach our children how to apply the truths of the Scriptures to the things they face in life. And we're helping them by doing so. We're just helping them grow into mature, godly adults, as Timothy says, complete and equipped for every good work. You see, these teachable moments make Scripture come alive for your child, and they could be more effective than formal instruction because it speaks to what's going on in your child's life at that given moment. And when your child grabs hold of a life-changing truth like that from God's Word, and if they internalize it, it has the power to actually alter the life of your child. So, may God give each of us as parents the grace to be faithful, to influence their children with the love and the ways of the Lord. You know, there's no greater blessing, brethren, no greater blessing than to have them grow up in ways that honor and glorify God, and then seeing them have children of their own and passing that on to their own children. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks for your word. We thank you that you didn't leave us in the dark here to just wonder how to go about raising children, but your word speaks to it directly. And I pray that all those here that are in the midst of raising children, and even grandparents, even aunts and uncles, that can apply these scriptures, these principles as well. So we give you thanks for your word, Lord, and I pray for everyone who is in the midst of the most challenging job on earth, that you would give them encouragement, that they would rise to the challenge, and that they would have a resolve in their heart to raise their children in ways that honor you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.